Because seriously, when's the last time you were sober enough to wake up at 5:30 a.m. to listen live? Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Cut the BS. Only the truth makes this team preach. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning, 5:32. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, another week. Here we are. What a week yesterday. Weekend in the National Football League. And I don't know if this usually happens. Is week seven where you begin to see who's a pretender and who's a contender? Because it really felt like that day yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, a bit of a moving day. Yeah, 4 weeks in is a better test than one or two, that's for sure. And you know, we were talking about... Every Monday, we seem to talk about who the good teams are and who the Super Bowl contenders are. Now, some pretty good teams lost yesterday, and I don't expect them. Maybe they were due for a loss. Maybe San Diego was due for a bit of a setback, sure, and a close game.
Yeah, Andy Reid coming off a bye, all that.
Yeah, you're in your own division. Seattle is going to leap off the page at people as a loss to make people, again, wary that you will not have a Super Bowl repeat champion for the 14th straight season. But, yeah, there were a lot of games last night that were very much indicative of who's good and who isn't in the NFL. And wrap it up with Denver pounding San Francisco. And just when San Francisco starts the last couple weeks to look like they're a real player, they'll challenge for the division. If they get home field for a couple weekends in the NFC, look out, they kind of don't show. And it was going to be Peyton Manning's night. You could tell from the pregame and all the hullabaloo about the breaking Brett Favre's career touchdown mark, which he did easily. Wasn't even an issue getting the three, tied with two, broke with three. But San Fran was pretty piss poor last night.
Yeah, they were. It was a lot of Peyton last night. And I know we'll bounce around a lot of these teams. But the one that the one that jumps off the page to me is Seattle. They lose again in St. Louis. They're now 3-3. Now, if you watch this game, and even if you analyze the numbers, it was a lot of Seattle in this game. They outgained the Rams all over the field. And yes, they're a very good team, and yes, they were the better team. But the record at 3-3, now a lot of people would have picked Seattle to, I don't know, lose three games all year, go 13-3. Do we think they're going to rattle off 10 in a row here to finish the season? Probably not. And I know it seems silly to say, but all of a sudden, they don't control their own playoff destiny, no, if we can look ahead that far.
No, and are they going to be one of these wild card teams that can rip off, or even a division winner, Andrew, that can rip off having to play the first week, and then are they going to go to Lambeau, and then are they going to go to Dallas and win both those games to make it back to the Super Bowl? Well, you're making life a lot more difficult than you would have had to.
They got to get in first.
Sure, yeah. I think they will be in. You probably think they will be. You wouldn't bet against them not being in. Is it an issue? Sure. Yeah. Is it a question? Absolutely. But they'd be one. If you had to write down six names on a piece of paper right now and submit it and then open it up January 2nd, you'd have them on.
Yep. But it's an amazing conversation.
Yeah.
That we're even having this talk right now, because Arizona's at 5-1. You don't have to love their quality of competition. Yesterday was a gimme, right? They beat the Raiders. Meanwhile, Seattle loses that game, and San Fran has to go up against Denver. Arizona, San Fran, and Seattle all play each other. Seattle doesn't have the luxury now of dropping a game or two to these teams. Otherwise, they're going to find themselves at 10-6 and out.
Well, or they got to go Giants 3 years ago when they went to Indy and beat New England, or they got to go Green Bay when they had to go to Dallas and beat Pittsburgh. And they're going to have to win three on the road. Where'd the Packers win? Philly, Atlanta, and then Chicago. I mean, it's still amazing they did it, but they did it. They were the hot team, and you're asking a lot for a team to pull that off.
10-6 might not get you in the NFC.
It might not.
Because I think we're still learning to find out. The NFC South is a dumpster fire right now. One team is getting in, the team that wins. But we're still learning about the Lions, and we're still learning about the Philadelphia Eagles. Right?
Yeah.
I think we've seen enough from Chicago. We've seen enough from the Giants to know that they're not there, and the same from the the Saints and the Falcons as well.
Yeah. The Bears, who I finally decided weren't a playoff team this year after years of probably going in too deep on them the last 3 or 4 years, they've got all sorts of trouble and turmoil and everything like it. I mean, getting booed. Mark Trestman might be in some serious trouble. Putting up 14 points against that Miami defense, yeah. None at halftime. It doesn't look like the genius that many said he was 12, 13 months ago.
Brandon Marshall had some strong words post-game. How about me yesterday?
Just the same word over and over again, really.
I go 9-1 in our terrible 10, and I miss my survivor pick. Everybody's out. I took Chicago over Miami as a survivor pick, and I got everything else.
I
would have been better off going any other game.
I would have told you to take Buffalo, and for 59 minutes and 59 seconds, it looked like you were going to lose. So that was my second choice for you. I wouldn't have done any better.
5:37, Brady and Walker. Big show ahead. Leafs drop both ends of that home-and-home with Detroit. And, yeah, people are throwing jerseys again. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
With that touchdown, Peyton Manning has become the NFL's all-time leader in career touchdown passes. Congratulate your
number 509 for Peyton Manning last night as the Denver Broncos roll in the Sunday nighter over San Francisco. Manning finishes with 4, so give him 510 for his career, but 509 was the special one that passed Brett Favre for the all-time mark. It's been a long time coming, so I don't know if it caught people by surprise, but is it as big a thing, Greg, as, say, when Wayne Gretzky beat, you know, Gordie Howe's all-time points or goals record?
Saying that last night, I think we only do have passing touchdowns. It feels like passing touchdowns and rushing yards. And rushing yards in a season. We all fussed over Adrian Peterson, right, 2 years ago at the end of the 12 season as to whether he was going to, you know, get into 2000, get to Eric Dickerson's record, pass O.J. Simpson's 2003. Passing touchdowns seems to be that's the benchmark. There aren't as many individual stats in the NFL that sort of knock your socks off. When Marino threw 48 touchdowns in 1984, that was really revolutionary. And then when he broke Johnny Unitas' passing touchdown record. Now, is someone coming along to break Peyton Manning's all-time touchdown record?
Andrew Luck could very easily be that guy.
Yeah. Because, you know what, 40 touchdowns a year could end up being the average year for quarterbacks going forward. I think everything will come back to the middle. Like, it's a very pass-happy NFL right now. But look at the teams that made the NFC title game last year. Seattle and San Francisco both like to run. Seattle has power running back. San Fran does it with Gore and with Kaepernick. So, you know, trends are strange in the NFL, but I don't think anyone doubted Peyton Manning. That wasn't last night, Andrew. That wasn't, hey, I guess Peyton Manning is better than Brett Favre. Most people knew he was better than Brett Favre. It was more window dressing and just another thing for him to add.
A lot has to go in, and for a guy like Peyton Manning, think of all the things in his career that have to go a certain way. Yes, he is a pass-first guy for obvious reasons. And not to take away from what he is, but he's had a slew of Hall of Fame-type receivers to go along right with him, right? I mean, Russell Wilson might not get into the Hall of Fame. Maybe he will, but he'll never threaten this record because that's just not his game.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Seattle has a receiver that we're talking. Peyton gets Marvin Harrison for a good decade, Reggie Wayne for over a half decade. Even the running backs he's had, even good offensive lines, he's had good personnel all around him. He goes from Marshall Faulk his first couple of years to Edgerrin James his last several in Indianapolis.
All that said, I don't want to take anything away from Peyton because I am in the category and in the camp that Peyton's the best ever, right? He doesn't have
it's really tough. I mean,
he doesn't have the rings other guys do, but I will tell my kids about, you know, so, when he asks about quarterbacks, I'll say Peyton Manning first because to me, he was the best guy to play the position.
So if you are sitting around and someone starts a Montana versus Brady conversation, you go, wait a minute, it's neither guy. Like that's, and again, I'm not telling, I think among those three guys and even Elway, I think there's four guys, Elway, Montana, Brady, and Brady, Montana, Elway, and Manning. with Marino just looking there going, God, I wish I had more playoff success. The first four guys, it's hard to tell anybody because you feel like you're carving the other four guys up, and they're clearly the best four out of the best five or six ever.
Yeah, definitely. I guess when I think of football and my life and my career as a football fan, yeah, there are the big moments. There are the big games and the Super Bowls, and you remember this and you remember that. But 95% of your life as a football fan is Sunday to Sunday. And over the last 10, 12 years, every Sunday, there's been Peyton throwing 3, 4, 5 touchdowns and just obliterating the record books. And that's more what's on front of mind, to be honest.
We are who we are, and you're a real smart sports guy. Could I make the argument you're a little young? Are you young for Montana to fully get every semblance of appreciation? Right?
Yeah. Oh, and the same with Marino. I'm young to like I didn't have Joe Montana in a fantasy pool.
Because
right?
I'd say that about Roger Staubach or Terry Bradshaw or Fran Tarkenton. People love to talk about the scrambling ability and taking not a great Vikings team to 4 Super Bowls. But I will admit to being a little young for that through the 70s. I'm certainly too young for Johnny Unitas. Somebody on the radio later today who's, you know, I'm not Bob McCown and John Shannon might say, well, Johnny Unitas, because I saw him play and he was this and that. And I go, I never, that's fine. I mean, it's hard for me to, it's sort of like us with Gordie Howe, right? I saw him play 1 year in the NHL and a few in the WHA as a child. But I can't deny when other people say how amazing he was. When they say he's the best player ever, I go, well, you know, Wayne and Mario had skill beyond what Gordie Howe had. It gets into these arguments, you know?
Yeah, I mean, my first guys that I could really say for quarterbacks that I was able to analyze, if that's the way you want to put it, were Favre, Elway, and not the young Elway, the Elway that won, and Steve Young. I probably don't have that Montana Marino appreciation that you need to have. But then it segues into Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and even throw Ben Roethlisberger into that category.
Sure, but you'd admit we play this small sample size game, I think, with NHL players in the playoffs, and we definitely play with Major League Baseball players. We don't tend to do it with quarterbacks in the NFL. You gotta.
Well, we do. Maybe not us, but people do.
But I don't think they make excuses as much. So when someone says, and this does not take Peyton Manning out of a top four, top five argument for me, when someone says he's an under 500 playoff quarterback, when someone says on the bigger stage he's been better in October than he has been in January, most of those things seem to ring true. It doesn't make him any less great to me, but it would enhance his reputation if he doesn't throw a pick six early on against Seattle. It would enhance his reputation if he didn't throw a bad pick six against the Saints in that Super Bowl 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can't argue with the playoff resumes of some guys. And really, maybe there's no right answer.
I'm the first to tell you, Marino, if you give Marino those last two Super Bowls with Terrell Davis and Elway never wins one, then Marino's Elway and Elway's Marino.
Sure.
That's the way it would go.
550. Andrew Walker, Greg Brady, our producer, Ryan Favreau, is in as well with a look at today in history. It's Now and Then.
Now and Then. A hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history. I'll be
back in time. Yeah, man, who probably a big Niners fan, but he probably saw the writing on the wall a good 8 minutes in last night. You give up on that pretty early? I did, and then came back to it. It was 35-10, and I thought I was right to give up on him for a change.
Well, it was a bit annoying because Bolden should have caught a touchdown. Should have been right back in it. The thing people aren't talking about enough, though, like, the defense is pretty bad, but everybody's injured. So if those guys come back at the end of the year, we could see a much better 49ers team because they're not the same bunch we've seen the last 3 years.
I don't worry about them in the playoffs, and I don't worry about Seattle. I might be proven very wrong about those two because the NFC is really tough.
You're going to have to worry about one of them.
One of them is going to start on the road and have to dig their way out opening weekend. So,
well, I still think Arizona is going to fall back. I know it's a reputation thing. I'm with you on Seattle, but I don't know. It's funny. They're not the same team, but we know that Kaepernick can get it done on the road in the playoffs. If that, you know, he's done that in the past. Do we know Seattle can
Listen to the last three games for the 49ers: at Seattle, home against San Diego, home against Arizona. Three real tough games. So you better, by that point, you better be 9-4. You better be 8-5 right. At the very least.
Should be interesting. We'll be discussing all
Should
morning.
Be interesting. It'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting to see how it all turns out.
We don't know.
That's right.
We don't know yet.
October the 20th, 1973, the Sydney Opera House opens. You know that funny building down there in Australia? The
white building with all those... Sidney Crosby, Sydney Opera House. Yeah,
that's right. So, I don't know. You ever been to Australia, Brady?
I want to go. I want to go when the tennis is on. I'm 15 years. I think I can do it once, but it's what? I've never been on a flight longer than 8 hours. Yeah. And this is, you got to fly to L.A. and then it's another 16 from there or something?
Yeah, that's why people go to Australia.
For
tennis.
The flight?
For the tennis.
What would you go for? Kangaroos?
I don't know, the beaches?
Witches?
The world famous beaches and bikinis?
You just went to Massachusetts to see people pretend to sacrifice other people.
You did.
That is true.
It's the first time I've ever heard anybody say, I really want to go to the Australian Open. Never heard that ever. Terrible. And never will again.
Oh, it's a dream of mine to go to the PGA Championship.
Me and Arash Madani will be living together then, and we'll have a lot of bucket list plans together.
Yeah.
And going to Melbourne will be one of them.
1977.
I really wanted to go to the Spengler Cup as long as I can remember.
Yeah. A small team in the Czech Republic has some odd time.
HC Davos looks really strong this year.
Spengler Cup, Grey Cup.
Hey, watch your mouth.
A very tight division race now.
Both the worst. 1977, the plane crash kills three members of the band Lynyrd Skynyrd. I didn't know this before.
Yeah?
Seeing this yesterday. But yeah, Lynyrd Skynyrd, do we like Lynyrd Skynyrd? Do we care about Lynyrd Skynyrd? Walkers, they don't play country music. Kinda.
Well, they do. They're a little southern fried.
This song is still in very high rotation in Saskatchewan.
I would bet you still hear it. Like, you hear this in a bar, and people just start cheering right away. Like,
oh,
that was
yeah.
the case when I was in college. So, it's almost a 40-year-old song now.
When you hear this at 2 a.m. and you're about 11 right. thin ones deep, yeah, it's great.
That's a lot of cheap shots at Neil Young. So, proud Canadians should not like this song. If you love Neil Young, you should not like this song or Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Neil Young's annoying. Stop.
This Daryl Hannah thing's fascinating to me because Daryl Hannah doesn't look like Daryl Hannah, but Neil Young still looks like Neil Young, and they're boyfriend and girlfriend now. They were surfing last week.
Seriously?
There was a paparazzi shot of them like body surfing.
I didn't know this was happening. That's
Neil
happening?
Young and Daryl Hannah are on. Get it on, bang a gong. They're a couple.
It's weird.
Yeah, that is weird. That's a great pull by Neil Young, I think.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, look at him. He looked like a homeless guy like 20 years ago.
Daryl Hannah says some weird facial surgery. Like, she looks a bit like the Joker.
Which one? Cesar Romero? He looked good.
It's like if Alana Miles and Cesar Romero had a baby, that's what she looked like.
Wow, that's...
Why so serious?
That's something. Yeah. 1992, the first ever World Series game outside of the U.S. happened here in Toronto back when... You know, we used to be good at sports.
You have a really memorable...
is it bad that when you said that, I was thinking, they played Mexico?
Yeah. Take the Carter win away. Take both clinchers away. What's the most memorable Jays World Series game? Is it the Sprague home run? Is it the 15-13 game the next year? Which is it? One of the two?
The 15-13 against Philly was quite something.
Yeah. The Sprague home run's pretty... I think it's the biggest home run in Jays history.
Yeah, that's a bad take by you.
No, it's not.
That the Sprague home run's the biggest.
Well, it's
history?
That or the Alomar home run against Eckersley. It's not the Carter home run.
Brady's right. Alomar home run.
Thank you.
Ranks high.
Yeah, the Alomar home run, I'll give you. Not the Sprague.
Okay, then
home
Sprague's
run.
Second. They no, go down.
Sprague is not second.
They go down 2-0 in the World Series, and they don't come back from that if they lose that game.
Right. Big home run. Anyway, the Red Sox came back all the way to beat the Yankees after being 3-0 down. We know that. That happened 10 years ago today.
Dave Roberts.
Happy birthday. Tom Petty, 64. Snoop Dogg's 43. And the number one song from 2002. On this date is Kelly Rowland featuring Nelly with the Dilemma.
Bad take. Bad take city. A colleague of mine said Kelly Rowland was going to have a successful solo career. Beyonce, I don't see it. That's a terrible opinion.
See, I said the third one, whatever her name was.
Bad music opinions right here.
More Brady bad Walker. Takes coming up after 6 with Brady and Walker.
I think,
good tease, good tease.
Who is the third one?
5:55.
Michelle Williams.
Brady and Walker. We will get back in to the NFL in your six-pack, and it's 6:22. But the Leafs, 1 point out of 4. We'll discuss the weekend at 6:02. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to us. our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. The Leafs get 1 point in a home-and-home with the Wings.
Drop back for Erickson. Up on the left wing boards it goes. Sheahan into the slot for Zetterberg. Scores!
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
6:03, Brady and Walker, good morning. The Toronto Maple Leafs drop both ends of that weekend home-and-home with Detroit. So, what have we learned? 1 point out of four. Greg, are you concerned with how this team has played on home ice?
Has to be somewhat of a concern, yeah. It's one of those funny things, and I've heard players theorize about it, and players don't want to come right out and say it, and they never do. And the home record will never be worse than the road record. You get that with a couple, or at least consistently, you get that with a couple NHL teams each year. But there is a flatness, and how could we say that about opening night against Montreal, because they didn't come out flat. Pittsburgh just dominated them from minute one through 60. And then the Colorado game, probably their best home outing, something nobody can complain about. But they, God, whether they were just out of sorts, and it was Friday, and it felt like Saturday, and then they go to Detroit, and it should feel like Friday, who knows? But they were much, much better. Much, much better Saturday night. They just ran into a bit of a brick wall in their old buddy Jonas Gustafsson. Very strange stuff. One goal, though, in 125 minutes, and a pretty goal at that from Mike Santarelli. But coming in now, Tuesday on the island, Wednesday in Ottawa, we're going to start to ask again about the first line. And the first line will have to start carrying a bit more of the ball in terms of offensive firepower. It's going to have to.
Yeah, I mean, you get...
They had a bad weekend.
You get no goals on the weekend from your top three, your big three, and... Is it really any surprise that you lose both those games? There's things to be, concerned about, and there's things to be disappointed about. I guess there's a difference there. Overall, this club is 2-3-1, which isn't great. But you go back to the beginning of the season, I don't know anyone that's saying this team is great. They're kind of a middling team that has played a lot of real decent teams in the early going. And every result has been kind of predictable
so
far.
I guess there's one team in the division that leaps off the page, and it's Ottawa at 4-1 that has surprised a lot of this. We talk about to a small extent with the NFL. It's really true in hockey, because you can look at a team's record and it won't tell you very much early on. It's about opponents. If you're an East team and you start out on a 5-game Western road swing to start the season, your record's going to be different than if you got Florida and Buffalo in a couple home and homes. So Ottawa's the team that's 3 points ahead of the Leafs. The Leafs off the page, and you say, I'm not sure Ottawa's better. But Montreal is better than Toronto. Tampa's better than Toronto. Boston's probably going to end up better than Toronto. They've got a couple wins back in their saddle now. And we talked about Detroit and Toronto, and Detroit outpointed them 4-1 over the weekend, and that's a good weekend for the Red Wings, though they've had trouble scoring goals as well.
And I guess that's, if you want to talk about what you should be concerned about, there it is. Because Detroit is that team that everyone puts in the same category as the Leafs. And you can make the argument, most people put both of those clubs ahead of a team like the Ottawa Senators. So
yeah.
not to say it's impossible for both teams to make it and both teams to miss. But if that's how you measure yourself, well, Detroit came into your rink on Friday and ran you around, right? Henrik Zetterberg ate Nazem Kadri for lunch and then spit him up, right? You like the response on Saturday. It's a scoreless game. You get a point in a road. You're not going to save your season or save your record in one night.
I you're bang on. And I didn't see too many bad Leafs on Saturday. I thought Roman Pollock played poorly. I didn't think Morgan Riley played terribly well. But that's going to happen from time to time. And that doesn't pin the loss on them. That said, the overtime shift, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong on the overtime goal. Tyler Bozak still getting back into his own blue line, and it's Monday, past his own blue line, it's Monday morning. Franzen was rather pedestrian in spotting that the Red Wings had a great chance to end this. Were they thinking it was a lot closer to the time ticking off than it was? Because they scored it with 9 seconds left in overtime. One more clearance gets you to the shootout. Everything went wrong off the opening draw. They lost the opening draw, and that was it.
Yeah, tough to tell. Or is the mentality, I mean, that's the Leafs, well, second overtime game this season, is the mentality, well, with 30 seconds to go, you give up the winner in the final minute or you get into a shootout, what's the difference?
You're
going to cheat to get a chance. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, but there were good signs on Saturday that were better. If Saturday had mirrored Friday, coming into two road games this week against teams, they're going to have to be ahead of one of those teams, maybe both, because everyone's raving about the Islanders right now, and Tuesday, tomorrow night should be pretty fascinating on the island, and then a back-to-back with Ottawa resting Tuesday, lying in wait. That also is going to be real intriguing. I would bet they go back with Bernier on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, no question.
On the islands,
yeah,
he played well enough to get back in there. We'll talk more about the goalie conundrum, if there even is one. Obviously, they played much better in front of Jonathan Bernier Sunday than James Reimer Saturday, but the weekend before, they played much better in front of James Reimer than Jonathan Bernier, and it got Reimer an extra couple starts.
Yeah, we will have a chance to talk about that a little bit throughout the show. Is it really a controversy? Is it really a discussion? What's so wrong with playing the hot hand? You know, why does it always have to be an issue for the Toronto Maple Leafs? 608, Brady and Walker, let's get you what you need to know on your Monday.
This is your Monday Morning Six Pack. Six things you need to start your day.
All right, number six, injury news for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They've been fairly healthy in the early going, but it was an ugly moment on Friday night as Brandon Cozen went into the end wall with Kyle Quincy. You saw it, his ankle got pinned. It did not look good. He hobbled off. Now, here's the deal now. He's on the IR, and he's out anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks with an ankle sprain. Somehow, he avoids an ankle break, which sometimes, I mean, those high ankle sprains, as we know, can sometimes be worse, but the Leafs will be without their fourth liner slash penalty killer for about a month.
And we were right back to where we were, weren't we, Saturday with a 0-0 game through 64 and a half minutes with almost no fourth line presence.
Yeah.
Matt Fradin got in, played under 3 minutes. Richard Ponig played 3.5. Peter Holland played 6.5. You're gassing out. Especially your top nine forwards. That's where Randy Carlyle's running them at full throttle, and we're six games in.
Yeah, now it's one thing in a 0-0 game because, you know, how are you really going to get on Randy Carlyle for ice time placement? That said, I'm really intrigued to see the next time they're down 5-1 or up 5-1 to see if Randy Carlyle continues to do it. Because we just know that you can do anything you want in the first 65 games, but eventually guys are going to get gassed out.
That said, the Wings didn't play a forward under 8 minutes. In fact, they got Steven Weiss their season debut finally, and he played 8:03. He played more than any member of the Maple Leafs.
And that's
fourth
and
line.
That's low. Mike Babcock generally gets everybody to 10 minutes. Number five, Toronto FC misses the playoffs, Greg, for an eighth consecutive season. This one is people will roll their eyes and say, well, saw that one coming. It was really tough to see this one coming a few months ago.
It was, and I remember listening on the radio to the, we aired it, the introduction of Jermaine Defoe, the introduction of Michael Bradley, Gilberto had already been signed. Imagine grabbing a TFC supporter. Guy 7 years in, wearing the scarf, who was at Real Sports chanting and going that day to him, go, dude, I still think they're going to miss the playoffs. He'd have either clocked you or he'd have fallen, he'd have glassed you like
that
a
sounds-
true...
Sounds like a Brady move. You would have done that.
But nobody, you're right. Nobody would have believed it. Miss the playoffs. If you said, hey, I don't know if they're going to win the title this year, they might go, yeah, but progress. They're going to miss the playoffs. The last game will be irrelevant next week in New England, and it is.
We'll ask James Sharman about this. He'll join us at 6:42 for a few minutes. I do have a couple of questions. How do you go back to, quote, the way things were next season? I mean, they missed the playoffs, and this year was disastrous. It was still the best season in franchise history. It's incredible. Number four, hometown hockey last night on City. The Winnipeg Jets fall 4-1 at home to the Calgary Flames. Is Winnipeg an underrated Connor McDavid candidate because of the conference play in?
Yeah, there's nothing they're showing right now, and they're out of the East. That's exactly it. They can't flirt with playoffs like they did the first 2 years in Winnipeg. It'll be more like last year where they're a little more out of it. By the way, hometown hockey next Sunday, closer to Andrew Walker's birthplace in Saskatoon.
Getting closer.
The younger brother to Regina. Ottawa and Chicago, Sens and Blackhawks next Sunday night on City.
Number three, as mentioned, Leafs get 1 point out of four over the weekend. Next up, the New York Islanders on the road coming up tomorrow. Number two, wild week seven in the NFL. Just to run you down quickly, the Cowboys win. They're 6-1. The Packers win. They're 5-2. Arizona wins. They're 5-1. But San Fran and Seattle both lose. If you give me a quick power rankings, you know, where do those Super Bowl champion Seahawks fall in at 3-3?
Yeah, I think you'd have to. I still see them as top five talent, but have they on a neutral field right now? Would they be in trouble against Denver? Yeah, obviously they would. The way their defense is playing now, a weapon gone for Russell Wilson with a dinner time Friday night trade of Percy Harvin. He practices all week to get ready for this game against the Rams, and then he's dealt Friday night. That's a little strange. I still think they're in the playoffs, but there's a big difference between all that home advantage up in Seattle and having to go on the road two or three times to get to the Super Bowl in Arizona. It's not going to be easy.
More on this at 6:26. Also, we'll talk about Peyton Manning. And that's the number one thing you need to know. In case you didn't stay up for it, Peyton Manning is now the all-time career touchdowns leader as he throws for four last night in that win over San Francisco, including number 509 to break the record held by Brett Favre. 6:14, Brady and Walker, we want to send you to the ACC coming up Saturday as Toronto takes on the Boston Bruins, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino, a gift certificate as well to the Great Blue Heron Casino. We're going to play Name That Player. He played for Toronto. Here is your first clue, your second and third clue coming up at 7:14 and 8:14. Tell us who this is. He was twice in his career traded for a Hall of Famer. Your second clue coming up at 7:14 this morning.
Coming up at 6:30, also, we knew it, we blew it from week seven in the NFL, including a team that, yeah, I once had a lot of faith in. They've used every single bit of faith up, and basically no more withdrawals at the Bank of Faith of Brady, put it that way.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. Back at it. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Now Manning looking for his fourth of the night. Hold in, Thomas, touchdown.
That's what I love about football. You play with great receivers here in Denver. Guys in Indianapolis, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Coach Fox, Dungy, Mora, Caldwell. I'm so thankful for all the people that have helped me in my career.
That is Kathy Bates on, it was Peyton Manning. Brady and Walker, 6:22.
Great in misery, Peyton Manning.
Let me ask you this. Did last night have to happen to convert even the most staunch of, you know, Peyton Manning is overrated type of grouping? I'm not in there.
We should play. Let's play the show after, well, not even the Super Bowl, but after the Baltimore overtime loss from Denver when they were the first seed in the right, AFC and right. He lost the first playoff game there. I don't remember the whole argument. I remember sitting in the airport writing about it, coming back from Eli's second Super Bowl win, and it was everywhere. It was everywhere, this Eli versus Peyton. Like, you didn't have hours to let the Giants enjoy a pretty good Super Bowl win and an upset and everything. And you know, denying Tom Brady his fourth Super Bowl for the second time. It was all Eli versus Peyton. And Peyton had flamed out. He lost, I think, a home game against the New York Jets that year in the playoffs. Didn't play the whole next season. And you're going, is Eli going to surpass Peyton in terms of what we call a great quarterback?
But it was, given the injury too, it was fair at the time. It was a natural comparison. But do you think any differently of Peyton at 5'10 as you did at, you know, 5'07?
I don't think so. I it doesn't change much for me. He's the greatest. He's been the most consistently excellent regular season quarterback ever. And I know that sounds like that's almost a backhanded compliment. It's not meant to be, because you play regular seasons for 4 months. And you play playoffs for usually a couple weeks or a few weeks. He's only gotten to the fourth week three different times. He's one of the best five quarterbacks ever. It almost becomes like, does it become like fashion sense? Does it become like, you know, the kind of girls or women you like when it comes to the five. As long as there's not a name outside of those five in there for modern guys like us, Elway, Manning, Brady, Montana, and probably Marino in terms of a pure passer. No one's going to argue that Marino's had the amount of success. And I can tell you, being loving the Dolphins my whole life, he needed to be better in an awful lot of playoff games. It's the same argument as Peyton Manning, only Manning's gotten there a lot more.
Well,
often.
What about the guy he beat, who does have a ring, in Brett Favre?
I just never saw those two as being comparable. I don't know where I'd have Favre in the top 10. Would I have Favre ahead of Warren Moon?
Yes. Yes, come on, of course, yes.
I want to say,
You're stretching it a bit with that.
I'm trying to talk myself out of it to some extent. You're right about that. Would I have Brett Favre ahead of
Steve Young?
Yeah, that's a lot more of a comparable. That's a lot more of a comparison. Troy Aikman never gets talked about as one of the all-time greats, and I'm not telling you he should be. He's got three rings. Jim Kelly has none. Jim Kelly, I would put ahead of Brett Favre, not in terms of career accomplishments, but as a guy I'd rather have in the fourth quarter of a tie game. So I don't see it as Manning Favre. I don't think this is like Gretzky, Lemieux, right, or some of the great, you know, take a Hall of Fame pitcher and put him against another one, or a Hall of Fame hitter against another one. I've always seen Manning as better than Favre. Now, what he's done now is set a record. We didn't think anyone was going to break Marino's touchdown record, and then we didn't think anyone was going to break Brett Favre's. He went 88 past Dan Marino. When's Peyton Manning going to stop? I mean, 560, 580 if he plays two more seasons?
He might get to six.
Yeah, he needs 90, but he's got to play 3 years to do it.
It would not surprise me if he got to six. Well, he's going to finish this year with, 525? Easy?
Okay.
Oh, 530.
So two more seasons. Yeah. Playing till he's close to 41 gets him there. Tom Brady might get to... Tom Brady's going to get to 450, but he's probably not getting to 508.
Or he gets there at the end of next season, based on what he's done.
I know. It's hard to see a near 40-year-old throwing 40 touchdowns a year, but that's the one guy you wouldn't rule it out.
The one thing that I make a comparison to, I think we view the NFL as a fan kind of like we do baseball, because there's a lot of great players who never quite get to that top of the mountain. And as a fan, right, as a football fan, we remember playoffs and we remember Super Bowls and where were you in this game and that game. But I think more so than any other sport, your life as a football fan, and whether it's because your favorite team or your Sunday rituals or your fantasy team or gambling, whatever, those things all factor in. It is Sunday to Sunday. And for the last decade, your Sunday has involved Peyton Manning being the best quarterback on your TV almost each and every week.
Absolutely. But when you play word association with him, I find that the people that love Peyton Manning, that think he's the greatest quarterback ever, they're instantly ready. If we're all sitting around having a pop on at a restaurant or something, and someone says, who's the best quarterback ever? One guy sitting there says Montana. Well, I'm instantly reflexive about Brady, because someone will say, the dumbest argument to me is Montana 4 rings, Brady 3. Yeah, but Brady's won more playoff games and gone to more Super Bowls. If that's your argument, is rings and rings alone, I'll take the guy that gets to more games than doesn't get to more games. And here's Peyton Manning. Andrew's lost 6 of his last 10 playoff games. 6 of his last 10 since he won the Super Bowl against Rex Grossman and the Bears. He doesn't need another Super Bowl to shut people like me up who don't think he is the greatest ever, but he can get more people to agree that he's the greatest ever by winning another Super Bowl. That's how it goes.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it would be a bigger conversation, or it should be, if Peyton didn't have a Super Bowl ring. But he does, right?
But he does.
And 1, 2, 3, to me, it's all the same category. The one thing I'll say about Peyton and where I think he's the best ever, and everyone has their own criteria. When my kids ask, all right, you know, Dad, who was the best quarterback you ever saw? In terms of how they played the position, right? In terms of what the position is, the guy that invented football, if you're going to diagram what a quarterback is, it's Peyton Manning, right?
Yeah. But there's nothing revolutionary about what he does, is there? The offenses have changed since he's been in the league. They've changed a lot, but he doesn't scramble. He doesn't need to scramble. It's sort of like Brady this year was getting criticized. It's like, if only Brady could get out of trouble. Well, he's never been able to get out of trouble. He's just
even like Aaron Rodgers gets out of trouble.
He's had better offensive lines and better personnel around him than Julian Edelman before this year. Don't ask Brady to run. Marino couldn't run. You're not asking him to be Steve Young or John Elway and scramble out of even Big Ben can scramble out of trouble periodically. Manning can't and Brady can't. We know that.
6-29 Brady and Walker. We talked about Seattle a little bit. Now they're 3-3, and there will be some people, Greg, that say today that I'm not looking at the records. Seattle is still the best team in the National Football League for me. Who is the best team right now in the NFL?
I think it's gotten to the point where if you tell me the Dallas Cowboys are, it's hard for me to tell you you're wrong. I might disagree. I think it's Denver, and I'm not trying to be caught in the moment guy where I saw Denver 5 hours ago pumping into San Francisco.
Well, San Francisco is a pretty good team.
And San Francisco is a pretty good team. Is Dallas going to do that to San Francisco? I don't think so. Is Dallas playing Denver on a neutral field? Anyone going to favor Dallas in that game? I'm not right now. So I still think it's the Broncos, but you're going to have an NFC. Andrew, we've had an NFC like this the last 3 or 4 years where if you get into the playoffs, you can win, you can go on a run, but there are no easy games, if that makes sense. Like the wild card weekend would feature games like, what, Detroit and Philadelphia and Green Bay and Arizona, or Green Bay, another Green Bay-San Francisco playoff game, which have been great the last few years. So it's hard to argue that Dallas isn't in the conversation, but I think we'd all probably still take the Broncos. San Diego's a field goal away from being 6-1 themselves.
But I don't feel the same about San Diego. No. I don't put them in the category of where I feel about Dallas or the Green Bay Packers, who are absolutely rolling with some quality wins over quality competition.
And this Thursday on SportsCenter, you got Denver and San Diego from Denver. If the Chargers get punked in that and are not even competitive, we're all going to think we're going to think about them like now we're thinking about the Bengals, right? Or now we're thinking about New Orleans as an outsider for the playoffs, and we're not going to take them very seriously.
You're like me though. I don't do this. I don't do this every year with the Dallas Cowboys and get caught up in, oh my goodness, they're 4-2 or they're 5-1. I'm no Cowboys fan. I'm no Romo apologist, but I'm just saying there's something different about the Cowboys. Right? There's something different. This is not the same, oh, we're going to find some weird way to blow up an extra point, short chip shot field goal and lose to Seattle in the playoffs. It's a different Cowboys team.
The next big test, they host Washington next week on Monday night, but then Arizona comes in. I mean, we expect it to be Washington. If they beat Arizona and they're 8-1, then we are starting to talk about how many. I mean, we're not talking about them just winning the division. We're talking about how much are they going to win by, and is the road to the Super Bowl going to go through the Jerry Dome, which we never thought we'd even see again with Jerry Jones as the GM.
6:32, Brady and Walker. So as you recap Week 7, we knew it, we blew it. What were you on point with this weekend,
and
what were you just miles away from?
All right, I'll give you something I was right about, and I'm feeling a lot more confident about it, and that's the Bengals they can't be taken seriously in the AFC. They are a down-playing team. They'll absolutely destroy you if you're sitting there either early in the season or you're one of the worst teams in football. But, Andrew, total yards, 506 to 135. First downs, 27-8. And do you think the Colts have one of the best defenses in football? I don't.
One of the worst performances of all time. They started the game with 8 straight 3-and-outs. That's hard to do. That said, can you fully judge Cincy without their best player? They don't have A.J. Green. He makes everything go.
He does, and he makes Dalton better, too. But I'm saying for Indy's defense, Indy gave up 28 to Houston and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, they were no good. I can't defend
it. So that's something I got right. What did you get most
I got most right. Now, I went 9-1 in our terrible 10. Included in there was an upset of Kansas City over San Diego. I'm not, and I don't think it's a huge indictment on the Chargers. I'm not sold on them, though, not to the tune of where I am on Dallas or, say, the Green Bay Packers or even Arizona, for that matter. I did take Kansas City to win that game, but you could see it coming. Andy Reid coming off a bye, dynamite over the course of his career. He did it again. So what were you way off on?
I didn't pick the Chicago Bears in the playoffs, but I watched them dismantle Atlanta last week thinking, hey, Atlanta's okay. But hold on a minute. They're not. Atlanta's not very okay. They're one of the worst 10 teams in football. So as crisp as Chicago looked at the Georgia Dome, they were terrible at home against Miami. And I don't think Miami's any good. Listen to these numbers as well. Third down efficiency, 5 for 12. Cutler turning the ball over. We used to say, hey, are Cutler, Forte, and Brandon Marshall the best quarterback, running back, wide receiver combination in the sport? In the sport. And they didn't score a point before halftime. And I'm not seeing this Mark Trestman offensive genius. I'm not sure Mark Trestman would have been hired by many other teams, but Chicago wanted to fire Lovie Smith, who always got them 10, 11 wins a year. Now we're looking at maybe a 6 or 7 win Chicago team because there's a lot of problems there.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's where I was off as well, is maybe overrating this Bears team, thinking, you know, they were there. You got to like their personnel, but that was, I'm out of the survivor pool. I took Chicago to beat Miami. I'm willing to say right now, I completely underrated the Baltimore Ravens and how they had the ability for this bounce back season. One that a team like the Atlanta Falcons or the Washington Redskins just doesn't. They looked really good again yesterday in that win over Atlanta. And coupled with Cincy, the way they're playing right now, yeah, the Ravens, you got to give them the AFC North right now.
There's a race. And Pittsburgh, look at Pittsburgh, even if Pittsburgh beats Houston tonight, they're in the convo at least, right, at 4-3.
6:35, Brady and Walker at 6:42. James Sharman, host of Soccer Central, is going to join us for a few minutes. If you are a supporter of Toronto FC, given what's happened over the last couple of months, how do you go back to what you used to know?
Don't forget, Sportsnet World has West Brom Man United. That's a 3 o'clock start today, a busy Premier League weekend, and Man United can climb up further in the table, take advantage of a couple losses of teams ahead of them. That's 3 o'clock on Sportsnet World.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Brady and Walker continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's 6:43. Brady and Walker, good morning. Happy Monday. Big weekend of sports to recap.
Yeah, it is. You were in Boston, Mass. over the weekend.
Great sports town. Not a lot of sports
there
going
much
on
happening
in Boston. No. Bruins were out of town. Patriots played Thursday.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox, who I guess own the town, it was a miserable season. So, yeah, not a lot of sports there. But
no.
What a great city.
The New England Revolution. They're crazy about that team.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
that team that we saw play Toronto FC. I was at Fleetwood Mac Saturday. And, yes, I was the youngest person there. I always like going to a show.
Right.
It makes me feel virile and vibrant and a lot of people with canes. It was good, though. It's a good show.
Pretty
good. You know, they have a lot of different singers.
How was the bar? Did you, like, was it all, like, Metamucil? Did you have a pina colada? What did you do?
No, because I'm, you know, strict club soda and lime. You saw me Thursday. I got 11 days to go.
Oh, yeah, right.
The whole 30. If you like pina colada, I'm going to look like LeBron when it's all over.
Just you save the pina coladas for Lilith Fair. Your little fair concerts.
I might make it there. Or the next Toronto FC match I go to.
So let me ask you this question. Because we don't talk about them a lot. They made their stir at the beginning of the season. They still, despite it all, had the best year in franchise history. But if you are a dyed-in-the-wool Toronto FC supporter, and you've seen misery after misery after misery, and then the beginning of this year looks so promising, and then you still miss the postseason, how do you go back to the original next year?
Yeah, I know.
How do you do it?
I know. And there's a lot of people that hop back on after being very off the wagon in 2013. James Sharman's a host of Soccer Central. Don't forget, we mentioned Man United West Brom today. That'll happen at 3 o'clock on Sportsnet World. But tomorrow, Champions League picks back up again. Huge games. Man City's got to go to Moscow. That's massive for them. Barcelona and Ajax among them. James, exactly what Andrew said. 8 years in now, it'll be, where does a Toronto FC fan go for some solace besides the local establishment?
Yeah, well, that's a good start, isn't it? I think amounts of alcohol bordering on history would be a big start, I think, at this point. You know what? I've always said this, and I'll keep saying it, that, yeah, your team can frustrate you. Yeah, they can let you down. Yeah, you know, ownership can make mistakes. Management can. But you have to, if you're a fan of a team or a club, you have to support that crest. And it doesn't matter who runs it or who owns it, but you've got to back your team. And, yeah, you can complain. You can, you know, whine. You can vocalize your discontent and your frustration, absolutely. But you can't walk away. you know, because at some point it will get turned around, at least for a year. You know, look at any club in the world, that happens at some point. It may be in 20 years' time, right? But think about how great that will feel, having been through this nonsense once again.
But disposable income-wise, you can go less often. You can you know, take your kid a few fewer times. You can go with your buddies a few fewer times. And that's what Toronto FC, like I said, that's what they lived through in 2013, and they don't want to go back to those days.
I'm fascinated about the season ticket situation because, you know, there is a win list still. They've increased the capacity by about 10,000 or thereabouts for next season. So, you know, before this season started with all the big signings and all the hype, we thought, yeah, well, that's no problem at all. But I do wonder about this offseason. They will lose some fans once again. I mean, they lost some this year. Some stuck around, of course, you know, give them one more try. So the fact is, you know, people won't listen to my advice, believe it or not. Can't imagine why. And they will walk away. But there'll always be someone to fill that seat, I'm sure. So I think they'll be okay. But there's no doubt that as a fan of that team, it's just, you know, galling once again to see this team fail. Even though they've, as you mentioned, Andrew, you know, they've got a ton of, you know, new records for the club this year. But that's not saying very much, right?
James Sharman, host of Soccer Central, joins us Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So where did this go wrong? I mean, early in the season, the opener in you know, specifically, Jermaine Defoe gave us some moments. Where did this season take a turn for the worse?
Well, I mean, there's numerous reasons. Defensively, there's no depth, so they lose Stephen Caldwell, who's you know, their captain by far. The best center back they've ever had. You know, he's been hurt a fair amount, you know, and there's really no one stepping in to replace him. But the key is Jermaine Defoe. 11 goals, when he plays, he generally scores. But, you know, he's got a history of injuries. And when they sign this guy as being the savior, you know, you look at his track record and he doesn't play full seasons, right? He's tightly wound. He does hamstrings. He does groins, you know. And, you know, I've watched him for Spurs and West Ham for years. Great player, goal scorer. But, you know, he's not a resilient type of player. So I thought, well, maybe if, like Robin Van Persie a couple of years ago, finally finds that magic solution to his health woes and plays a full season, he'll be the solution. And he would have done, I'm sure. If Jermaine Defoe played every game this year, they'd be in the playoffs. But he wasn't. You know, he's missed a lot of games, and that's, to me, the biggest issue. So defensively, yes, that's easy to talk about. It's always been the issue. But, you know, when you haven't got Jermaine Defoe, people weren't scoring goals. And I think, to me, that was probably the biggest reason.
James Sharman, our guest, Soccer Central, 6:49 a.m. on Brady and Central, on Brady and Central, Brady and Walker.
Brady.
Yeah, that'd be odd. I would be talking to myself, which would be a bit worse. Harry Redknapp and Jermaine Defoe, this relationship, people linked him to QPR in the transfer market. Harry Redknapp might be in some trouble at QPR. Does all this factor in, and still do you think Jermaine Defoe won't be back with Toronto?
Listen, I mean, the rumblings are he won't be. I'm pretty sure he won't be. I think he's made his mind up. He will get a job somewhere in the Premier League. He can score, still score. Now, QPR was the natural fit, but like I said, QPR are, you know, struggling through an awful campaign. They lost a crazy match yesterday to Liverpool, just a crazy one, which maybe they should have got points in, but I think there were 3 goals and injury time in that one. But Redknapp, you're right, is very much on the hot seat right now, and he is the connection there. If he goes, maybe there's less chance of Defoe going there. And would Defoe want to go to a relegation battle, you know? If he does go back to England, it'll be for a pay cut. Right, he's not making the same money as he's making here. It'd be purely for a footballing ambition type of standpoint, I would think. So that'll be interesting. But I think he's gone. I think he's tasted MLS. He's realized that, man, I'm 31. I've still got a lot of gas in the tank here, despite being injured a lot this season. I can still play at the highest level. And I think, as sad as it is, you know, MLS isn't that right now. So I think he'll get a job somewhere. In January, you know, Greg, I mean, teams panic, right? They need goal scorers. They're not easy to find. When you've signed Jermaine Defoe, you're signing up for goals. As simple as that. So I think he'll get a gig and he will move on.
James, thanks for this. Match day 3 starts out tomorrow with an early match. Man City in Moscow playing Cheska. We appreciate the time this morning.
Thanks, fellas. Chat soon.
There's James Sharman joining us, Soccer Central. Lots of great Champions League tomorrow. Don't forget on Sportsnet World today at 3, Man United and West Brom.
6:51, Brady and Walker. Let's do best and worst.
Best.
DeMarco Murray.
And worst.
Remo.
With Brady and Walker.
Hey, Rem the Gem. Come on.
It's not the worst.
Well, yeah, I mean, he might be the worst. Never heard that nickname before.
Rem the Gem?
Rem the Gem. I have not.
Edmonton nickname.
Something new every day.
651. I'm Andrew Walker. He is Greg Grady. This is best win, worst loss, best player, worst player from what we saw in sports yesterday. I'm going to give best player right out of the gate to Mason Redmond. You saw him play last night. Rogers' hometown hockey. Of course, it was set up in Selkirk and Selkirk, Manitoba. And there was Raymond. 3 points as the Calgary Flames win in Winnipeg 4-1. I've gotten a lot of tweets over the last week or so, Greg, talking about how the Leafs missed on Mason Raymond and bringing him back. He's had a nice start to the season with 5 goals. And he really has been good for Calgary after signing that 3-year deal at $3 million a season. People forget, though, that here, and I know we saw pretty much every player kind of fall off the map over the last 30-35 games, Mason Raymond didn't have a sniff of a point for the last 20-25, and it was okay because the Leafs were only paying him $750,000. You kind of avoid criticism. But if Mason Raymond had been making $3 million here, people would have run him out of town.
Yeah, they probably would have. That said, he's making what Leo Komarov's making. And I know Leo Komarov, people like him. He hits people. He gets the body. He gets body on body.
You're not judging. You're not going to judge Komarov's season, though, on how many goals he ends up with at the end of the year.
No.
That's not what a good or bad season makes for him.
No, because
it is for Raymond, because he doesn't do anything else for you.
No, I know. But Komarov doesn't do the anything else part. Komarov does the anything else, but he doesn't score. All right, let's give worst player to the Seattle Seahawks special teams unit. Not once, but twice. Two things happened in this Rams loss. One was this play everybody's talking about, but one's a little unheralded. The first is the fake punt return. You can, plenty of fake punts across the NFL and the CFL and the CIS. You don't see a fake punt return almost ever. The entire Rams team decoyed the Seahawks into thinking the ball was coming to the near corner where the camera is. It went to the far corner, and catching it over his shoulder was Stedman Bailey, and he basically romped in untouched and made it. And think about when they did this, Andrew. It was already 14-3 St. Louis, and this just was piling on at this point, but they needed the points. They made it 21-3. Then, 2 minutes 55 seconds left, a 4th-and-3, and a fake punt, only up by 2 points.
Incredible.
If you blow it, Seattle walks right in with Marshawn Lynch probably and scores the winning touchdown, leaves you about a minute to get one back, and what a gutsy call.
I'm really looking forward to our chat with our NFL insider Jim Fossil, 22. His son, John Fossil, is the special teams coordinator for those same St. Louis Rams. Really want to talk about those two plays. I will give a worst loss yesterday easy for me, the New Orleans Saints. They give up 2 touchdowns in the last 4 minutes to the Detroit Lions and lose that game to fall to 2-4. That's just dreadful.
Best win, Kansas City on the road in San Diego for me. You ended up calling this one. Chiefs winning away in San Diego.
They Andy Reid off a bye.
Yeah, down 14-10 at the half, and they were, you know, kind of struggling a little bit, and then a great Alex Smith fourth quarter. That's when quarterbacks have to be really good, be efficient on third down, be really good in the fourth quarter, and Alex Smith definitely demonstrated that yesterday. It's a good win. They're 4-3 and actually in the playoff hunt.
6:54, Brady and Walker at 7:02, back in the NFL. Peyton Manning breaks Brett Favre's record, and are the Dallas Cowboys the best team in football? It's a legitimate question.